Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Nick Augustine, and I'm here with attorney Joseph Roble from Joseph Roble Limited, the Chicago bankruptcy law firm. This is the Chicago Bankruptcy Update, featuring information, news, and updates in bankruptcy law. Financial troubles are very stressful, and bankruptcy can be a solution for you. If you are considering filing a bankruptcy, Joseph Roble will courteously and professionally review your finances, answer all your questions, and provide the information that you need to allow you to decide for yourself if bankruptcy makes sense, has value, and is the best way to provide from your financial woes. For a library of information about bankruptcy and the Chicago bankruptcy firm of Joseph Roble Limited, please visit ChicagoBankruptcy.com. Today's program is Chicago Bankruptcy Questions and Answers with Joseph Roble, our September 2015 program. A couple of the examples of topics we'll cover today would be: what type of debts does the bankruptcy eliminate, and what type of debts will I have to keep? Another: how long does a debt need to exist before I include it in my bankruptcy filing? Another good question: are there any special rules in bankruptcy involving homeowners association dues and fines? Another good question is: how soon can I file for bankruptcy if I need to use the bankruptcy laws more than once? Joseph Roble has been a practicing attorney since 1973 and has experience in a wide variety of legal matters relating to individuals and families. He presently concentrates his practice in consumer bankruptcy. Mr. Roble helps clients get out of debt and get a fresh financial start. He is an active member in several bar associations and is on the bankruptcy panel of the pro bono program of the Chicago Volunteer Legal Services. Joseph Roble earned his bachelor's in psychology from Northwestern University, and in 1973 he earned his Juris Doctorate degree from DePaul University Law School. He also served in the U.S. Army Reserve 363rd Civil Affairs Unit. By way of disclaimer, as we get going today, I want you all to understand that this is a general information program and the advice shared on this show does not constitute legal advice. Communication with our attorneys, guests, among callers on this show cannot give rise to an attorney-client relationship. If you have questions, you should call the bankruptcy law firm of Joseph Roble Limited and make an appointment to speak to an attorney by dialing area code 312-781-0996. Finally, all callers remain confidential and all rights to this broadcast are reserved. Now it's time to say hello to our co-host, attorney Joseph Roble.
Hello, Nick. How are things in Texas?
Things are good. We finally have cooler weather, which for us means under 90 degrees. So what Chicagoans consider summer, it's fall, and we love it. Except it comes along with it. It comes all the allergies. Okay, so everyone's sort of suffering and hoping now for winter. So it's a little bit of an odd thing there. But the State Fair of Texas is going on, so I can't wait for that. I'm going on Friday. I'll have to save up some money and hope I don't hit bankruptcy between now and then.
Sounds good to me.
In all seriousness, though, I think we have a good round of questions this time. And for anyone who has not listened to this podcast before, of course, you can find a whole list of our podcasts on Chicago Bankruptcy website. It's located at ChicagoBankruptcy.com. There's a whole library of these podcasts, and these are real questions from real people. And Joe Roble gives his best attorney answer and best shot. So the goal here is to learn more about bankruptcy, and hopefully we can share these with others, because, again, people don't just jump out of the woodwork in the morning saying, hey, I need some bankruptcy advice. I have some questions. You know, people don't usually talk about that thing openly. So that's why we do the show, and I'm going to jump right into it. Our first question wants to know, the first question involves different types of debts. We know some debts are dischargeable, some are not. The person wants to know, what debts does bankruptcy get rid of, and what chapter do they need to file to remove all their debts? Person has medical and credit cards and back taxes.
Well, that's one of my easier questions, and it's nice to start off with something like that. Chapter 7 is the bankruptcy that gets rid of debt. It provides you with a court-ordered discharge of your legal obligation to pay creditors. So if you signed for a loan, you signed a written agreement promising to pay back. If you signed a credit card application with Visa or MasterCard or a department store, you have a written contract promising to pay. They let you charge. They send you a bill, you pay. If you see a doctor, go to a hospital, go to a clinic, you are given services. You now have a legal obligation to pay. Chapter 7 eliminates that legal obligation, so it gets rid of your debts. Almost all debts that are out there are dischargeable in a Chapter 7 bankruptcy, but there are some important exclusions. A big one is student loans. They're just, you can't get rid of them. They're just not dischargeable. Congress placed them in a separate category. Government fines, parking tickets is a huge example. We see that a lot in Chicago and a lot of big cities. It's so difficult to park. People get parking tickets right and left because they just leave their car where they shouldn't. Child support, alimony. Most income tax, not all, but short-term income tax that's not 3 years past due, you can't get rid of in a Chapter 7. You may be able to if it's more than 3 years old. And then what we don't see a lot but does happen, fraudulently induced debts. So if you borrow money and you provide false information on an application that you make more money than you do or provide other false information, and had the creditor known that this information was false, they would not have given you that particular loan. Such a debt is not dischargeable in bankruptcy. So a very long answer for this particular client, the medical bills, the credit cards, those are wiped out. The back taxes, the answer is it depends. We have to see what the taxes are for and what years.
And sometimes they'll work out a payment plan, the IRS will. Sometimes they don't, but it's always worth a try. So that's a good question, good answer. Our next question is about protecting assets. The person wants to know if by starting an LLC, and I'm assuming that they would put property of theirs into the LLC as an asset, would that be a good way to protect assets before filing for Chapter 7 bankruptcy? The person explains further. In the event I need to file for Chapter 7 bankruptcy protection, would starting this LLC with the assistance of a bankruptcy lawyer be a good way to retain the small amount of liquid assets that I have left? Is there a maximum amount a person can put into a bankruptcy that's owned by an LLC that will protect the asset while I file for bankruptcy? And I just, you know, before we even go there, this sounds like a fraud to me. am I right? Ding, 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 ding. What do I
you mean? You have very good instincts. yes, that's basically correct. By LLC, it stands for Limited Liability Corporation. There are different types of corporations that people can set up, S-Corp, C-Corp. And people do that a lot when they have their own businesses, and setting up a corporation is perfectly fine. But one of the things that you really don't want to do before filing a bankruptcy, and particularly in that first year, in the 12 months before the filing, you don't want to take assets that you have and hide them, dispose of them, give them to somebody else. because what you're doing is you're taking away an asset that the Chapter 7 trustee or even the Chapter 13 trustee that looks at the value of your assets to help determine the payment plan just belongs to them. So clients come in to see me, and we go through their finances, and they decide to want to do a Chapter 7, and they'll have credit card and medical bills, which are the usual problems, and their income is fine. They are below the income limit, so they could do a Chapter 7. Their debts are the right kinds of debts. They can do a Chapter 7. The rest of their assets, their house isn't worth enough money. Their cars aren't worth enough money. All that's fine. They've got $25,000 sitting in a bank. So the client will say, what if I just pulled out the money? I gave it to my brother-in-law. Well, no, that's not good. That's a fraudulent transfer. And you file a Chapter 7 bankruptcy, the trustee is going to either look to get that money back from your brother-in-law or deny a discharge, and there's also possible criminal penalties. So the same thing with taking your money and putting it into a business that you start before your bankruptcy. Now, if you do that 3 years before the bankruptcy and you've got an operating business, it's a whole different thing. But anything within the first year is presumed to be fraud, and you have to prove that it wasn't your intention, and it's difficult. If it's more than a year as a transfer, then it's up to the trustee to prove that this was fraudulent. Besides money, a lot of times vehicles, clients come in, you file Chapter 7, mm-hmm. they're going to take your car. Well, I just transferred title 2 weeks ago to my sister. Well, it doesn't matter. The law considers it yours. So situations of that nature, when someone has an asset to lose, the ideal thing is file Chapter 13. Most people don't have to pay back all their debt. They can pay back enough equal to the value of the assets, get rid of the rest of their debt, keep what they have. It's a very good solution. And people shy away from it, and I try to encourage them to do that instead of waiting 2-3 years and living with creditors harassing and suing them. Chapter 13 is a very good alternative to Chapter 7.
Mm-hmm. We hear cases about fraudulent transfers pretty frequently and post those on the Joseph Rebel Limited Facebook page. So anyone listening, that's a good idea to go to the Facebook page. There's a link to it from the website. Go there, like the page, because we share stories about people who get busted big time for bankruptcy fraud. It's not something that they mess around with. Good question, good answer. Our next question is about bankruptcy and being a co-signer on a mortgage. Person wants to know, can I file bankruptcy if I'm a co-signer on a mortgage? I was recently granted a divorce in April 2015. The separation agreement states that my ex-husband is to refinance and take my name off the loan, and I'm to do a quitclaim deed. It says I've held up my end of the bargain, and he has not. Can I file bankruptcy as the co-signer of the mortgage loan?
Yeah, I'm assuming that this particular person I can't make the assumption. There's a couple reasons why she may want to file. One may be that the ex-husband's not paying the mortgage, and she's afraid of getting a judgment against her for money due on this particular mortgage, or getting involved in foreclosure. Or she may need to file a bankruptcy because of credit card or medical bills, and is wondering if the fact that she's a co-signer harms her anyway. And the answer is no. She can go ahead and file. there shouldn't be any issue to that's detrimental to the ex-husband because there is a divorce with a judgment that says he gets the property, so he doesn't need to worry about the ex-wife bankruptcy having the trustee consider that property as an asset. I think I'm not explaining this very clearly here. Are you following Nick? What I'm going over?
What I'm understanding is the person should definitely make a phone call and talk to a bankruptcy lawyer because it's complicated. It is.
Well, yeah. Sometimes the issue with the questions that we get, which are questions, are wonderful, but there is not enough detail to give a complete and proper answer.
Right. So they're very. So you know, we do. You know, Joe, you're on the spot. You do the best. You do the best you can. You know, folks listening, he's been doing this for over 40 years, and you would think that he has seen just about everything, but I suppose people can still surprise him. You know, and when we're talking about this, we want to remind everybody that these present bankruptcy laws, they've changed over the years, and they're pretty complicated. These procedures involved and the documentation that can be required to go through bankruptcy can be a little overwhelming, particularly if you're unfamiliar with the law. Well, Joseph Robel and his team at Joseph Robel Limited have over 40 years experience, like I said, representing clients in consumer bankruptcy. And that experience really ensures that your financial situation will be properly analyzed. Joseph Robel and his staff understand that you might be anxious about your financial problems, probably tired of harassment by the creditors, and maybe uncertain as to whether filing this bankruptcy is really what you need. Well, if bankruptcy will help your financial situation, you'll be promptly advised for which chapter you may qualify. At Joseph Robel Limited, the entire procedure from beginning to end will be clearly explained to you, as well as the documents you'll need to provide. They'll also present you with the comprehensive What to Do Next letter at or after your free consultation, and that will guide you through the entire process from start until finish. If you don't need to file for bankruptcy, they'll tell you that. Joseph Robel Limited is not going to put you in a bankruptcy simply to earn a fee. Joseph Robel Limited is a small law firm of attorneys and staff experienced in consumer bankruptcy. They're not a bankruptcy law factory, and you're not going to get lost in their office. You will be treated like a human being with courtesy, dignity, and the respect you deserve. The mission there at Joseph Robel Limited is to have you take control over your finances through the proper use of these bankruptcy laws. Joseph Robel Limited has offices located in the Chicago Loop, in Chicago's Belmont-Craigan neighborhood, and in the suburbs, in Burridge, Deerfield, Gurnee, Naperville, Orland Park, Schaumburg, Skokie, St. Charles, and Westchester. So they can represent Illinois clients in Cook County and all the suburban collar counties of Will, DuPage, Kane, LaSalle, Kendall, and Lake County. All right, back to our program here with our questions and answers of September 2015. Our next individual, Joe, wants to know about credit cards. Credit cards sometimes run us into trouble. This person wants to know what happens to their credit cards when they file for bankruptcy and if they have good credit. This guy was wondering if your credit cards will be taken away from you when you file for bankruptcy, even though you've got a good credit rating and your credit card payments are up to date.
This is there's a lot of good questions, many of them are very common because people have the same concerns over and over. If I file a bankruptcy, do I keep my house? Do I keep my car? What happens to this? What happens to that? And okay, what happens with credit cards? Well, first of all, if you have credit card debt and that's a reason for filing, the bankruptcy is going to wipe out that obligation, and obviously you can't use those particular credit cards in the future. If you have a Visa or a MasterCard with any particular bank, and your credit is good with them, you're paying that you owe them money, you must list and include that debt in the bankruptcy. Even if you don't want to, you're obligated to list all your debt. If you have a Visa or a MasterCard or other credit card and it has a zero balance, at the time you file the bankruptcy, it's not a debt. You don't owe money. It is simply a right to charge on that credit card. And the particular creditor or credit card that you have with those zero balances are not listed in the bankruptcy. And in most cases, you should be able to continue to use them. But it does happen occasionally that because someone files a bankruptcy, they may lose their right to use a valid and good credit card with a zero balance because that could be the policy of that particular creditor, that they don't want you as a customer if you filed. So some of that, people are not really going to know what's going to happen on credit cards that they want to keep with zero balances until after they file a bankruptcy. It doesn't happen often, but as an attorney, one of the things we have to tell clients are possibilities, even though they may not be very likely to happen.
All the possibilities. A lot of things are possible. And, you know, bankruptcy, as we're talking about the different Chapter 7 versus Chapter 13 and the reorganization, a lot of people don't realize that that's a possibility to do the reorganization. A lot of people just think bankruptcy is bankruptcy. Interesting. All right. Our next question would be, it's someone from the state of Maine. Wonder how the weather is in Maine today. Well, the person wants to know if they're able to file bankruptcy if they make $55,000 a year income. They live in the state of Maine. Says, I'm over my head with credit card debt and loans. What can I do to eliminate this debt and start over if they make $50,000 or $55,000 a year and live in the state of Maine?
Okay, let me just say something about the state of Maine or any other state. The questions that we answer on this program or that come to us by email or whatever, they are nationwide. And obviously we can answer questions nationwide. But my practice, I only handle and represent clients in Cook County and the Collar counties here in the Chicago area. That's my jurisdiction. And I bring that up because I got a phone call yesterday, somebody from Missouri. They saw us on avvo.com. It's a website where people can post questions for lawyers and doctors and get answers to help them decide what to do. And AVO allows attorneys to have their clients post reviews. I'm very happy to say I have a lot of positive reviews there. And this particular client only wanted me to represent him. Lives in Missouri. I can't possibly handle a case in Missouri. It would never, the cost to the client would be outrageous. Anyway, to answer the question from the client in Maine, one of the issues for Chapter 7, there's an income test. Your income has to be below the median, and the median is $42,588. This client makes $55,000, so this client is over the median, but I'm missing information. How many people are in the household? The more people there are in the household, the higher the median income. So that's an uncertainty. Secondly, what kind of assets? Does this client own a house? If so, what's it worth? What's the mortgage balance? Does the client have cars, et cetera? So those are all issues that any experienced bankruptcy attorney reviews with a prospective client to determine, number one, Does a bankruptcy make sense? Does it have value? And number two, which of the two bankruptcies will the client qualify for? In this particular case, if it's a single individual and everything else is good, the initial answer would be, well, you're over the median, so you can't pass the initial portion of the median income test. But there's a second portion where you get credits for various items, and perhaps with the credits, the client could pass. So another question where there isn't a clear-cut answer due to missing information. And let me also say we've discussed on a number of different shows that people can find in a podcast, previous podcast, that what the median income test is, how it works, et cetera, one of the more complicated things that anyone will ever find in any law anywhere.
Well, and there's definitely a reason you don't want to try to do all this on your own. It's good to have someone with experience who understands it all, because I've tried to do the math myself, and it's I get confused. My next question is, we have time for a few more here. How long does a debt have to exist before you can include it in the bankruptcy? The person says, I need to file bankruptcy, and I was wondering if I could include a payday loan. How old does the payday loan need to be before they're included?
Okay, so the general answer would be the closer in time that the debt was taken out to the filing date of the bankruptcy, the more likely that a creditor is going to file an objection and say, wait a minute. And this is a formal complaint, basically a lawsuit within the bankruptcy. Wait a minute. This client did a cash advance of $5,000 2 weeks before filing bankruptcy. They knew they were going to file bankruptcy. They took this money anyway. We don't want that debt discharged. That's the type of complaint a creditor can file. It's not going to happen if the last time you used the credit card was 6 months ago, 7 months ago, a year, 2 years. It could happen 3 or 4 months. It doesn't happen a lot. Payday loans, I've never, ever seen a payday loan raise their ugly heads, and they're really, really terrible loans. I had clients borrow money days before filing, and we just get discharged. I really haven't seen that as an issue.
Yeah, the payday loans are awful. I mean, you'd almost rather go to the guy down the street in the dark alley who come by and break your kneecaps with a bat. And, you know, they have better interest rates than those payday places.
Yes. They do.
Yes.
They really do.
Our next question.
But the consequences are scary.
You're right. Either way. It's, you know, that one of the things, here's another thing that we try to always put out there on the Facebook page, is tips for people who try, you know, it's somewhat wise person once said, it's not how much money you earn, it's how much money you can save, and different ways to save money and have better financial success. It's just learning, and, you know, people get into these, you know, these payday loans and things, and the interest rates get in over their heads, and it just, you're like, it's like drowning in a tub. It's terrible. You know, there's better ways out there. So, again, plug for the Facebook page. Go hit the like button and share that with other people. You know, clicking the like button on some of those things helps other people in your Facebook feeds find the page and find out that information, because, again, they might be looking for it. Another question we have here today involves homeowners associations, or the joys of anyone who lives in an HOA. We all know that there sometimes are fees and all sorts of interesting things that go on. This person with the question says they filed for a Chapter 7 bankruptcy in August of 2013 and just found out that they have a default judgment that was filed December 2014 due to unpaid HOA dues. Uh-oh. The person says, I thought that since I filed Chapter 7, no assets, and no assets Chapter 7, that even if I forgot to list this as a creditor, I would still be protected under Chapter 7. So can I reopen my Chapter 7 and add these HOA fines that's against a judgment, or is it too late? Against a judgment is $3,600.
The simple answer to the question is no, can't open it. The complicated answer is that homeowners' dues, condo association, homeowner assessments, all the same thing. They were given a special exemption under the new, it's not new anymore, it's 10 years old, the bankruptcy laws that were changed in 2005. And that states as follows. On the day that you file bankruptcy, any assessments that you owe for homeowners or condo association is wiped out, discharged as of that date. But from the date of the filing forward, as long as you are the owner of that property, even if you don't want it anymore, even if it's in foreclosure or going to be in foreclosure, until you no longer are the owner, you're personally obligated for each and every month of assessments from the date forward in the bankruptcy. It seems to me that this particular questioner did a bankruptcy on their own without an attorney, because an attorney would explain that to them, that they should have continued their payments after the filing date. So it's a huge problem. I had a client I interviewed recently, and after we went through everything, she sent me an email. She says, "I'm really upset and confused about this whole thing." And I said, I'm sorry that you're upset and confused, but my job is simply is to explain how the law works so you understand it. I didn't create it, and we have to deal with it."
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And there's a lot of people try to save money by doing things on their own, and it's the experience that counts, and the knowing when to say when, the unknown unknowns, and the it's an interesting thing. People sometimes, you can do a lot of things on your own without hiring a professional, but you just never know when you're going to commit that awful, awful mistake that's going to cost you dearly. We have time for one more question we can squeak in here. The question is, the person wants to know how they can find out when they previously filed for bankruptcy because they want to file again. I said I filed about 8 years ago and am unfortunately looking to file for bankruptcy again. I no longer have the paperwork, so I need to find out when I'm able to file again.
They can go online and open up an account through the PACER, P-A-C-E-R system, and they'll be able to look up their bankruptcy regardless of what state they are in. If they're going to file through an attorney, which I hope they're going to do, then the lawyer could look it up quickly, because we all have these accounts where we can access bankruptcy courts around the country to look at previous filings.
All right, good deal.
It's eight years between Chapter 7s, 8 years, from the filing date of one Chapter 7 to another.
Okay. Now, what about Chapter 13?
Chapter 13, it depends on whether they got a discharge for paying 100% or whether the case was dismissed. It's a little complicated to give that in a sentence.
Mm-hmm. Right. Of course, any of these bankruptcies, what a lot of people want to do is stop the creditors, and when a bankruptcy petition is filed, that automatic stay kicks in. So that, there's all sorts of things like the automatic stay provision and all these other things that we've been talking about on the website. If you just do a Google search for Joseph Roble in the topic or question, you will likely find a blog article that will flag you right to an answer, and some videos and other great information that are available at chicagobankruptcy.com. I want to thank all of our listeners today for either listening live or clicking the link to listen to this podcast on demand. Appreciate everybody's efforts to share these in social networks, because that's how other people find these. Joe, I want to thank you for your time, and we'll talk to you next time.
Nick, thank you as always. Much appreciated.
All right. Everybody have a good week and good financial sense. Remember that Facebook page. Remember to share some great content, because, again, people don't necessarily – a lot of the people know that they're looking for this information, so that's why we're putting it out there. Thank you all again. Be back be back soon. Bye now.